I got out my shovel and went out to dig some bait. Got a pail with some worms and I headed for the lake.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. We have Mark O'Farrell, and we have professional bass angler Mark Lassine, who is one that started Bass Angler Magazine. And so we're going to spend the next 10 minutes talking about bass angling. So
my favorite.
Yeah, I guess. Apparently you've done enough at it, you're starting to get pretty good at it.
If you keep at it, you finally either got to get good at it or quit. So yeah. I haven't quit yet, so okay. I'm getting a little bit better every year.
Well, would you mind sharing a little bit? There's a lot of people, I mean, everybody, likes to catch trout, but as far as getting serious about getting into the competitive sport, bass is pretty much where it's at. So if you've got somebody that's a passionate bass angler and they're thinking that, you know, maybe I should go on tour or enter some tournaments, could you talk about maybe give some tips on them and either tell them to forget it or how to do it?
Well, you know, it's kind of like any dream. You know, you really need to put forth a balanced effort for it. You know, just like music or sports or, you know, anything that seems like a really fun way to make a living. You know, it takes a lot of hard work. A lot of people fail, and you know, the ones that really put forth the effort and think about it a lot and do everything, those are the guys that make it. You know, Skeet Reese, Kevin Van Dam, those kind of guys that have a pretty well-rounded background. But, you know, if you want to start being a bass angler, there's some things you need first off is really to acquire some skills. Acquire the skills it takes to, you know, cast fish any lure that is made in bass fishing. So that's really a very important start to it, is get your mechanics, get your skills down, get some education behind you. You know, college is actually a really good thing. If you want to make it as a bass angler, you need some marketing behind you because nobody makes it on their tournament winnings alone. You have to have some endorsement
sponsors. Mm-hmm.
So you need the marketing background behind you. If you have some education in marketing, it's much more helpful when you're approaching somebody to help fund your bass fishing. So, you know, so those guys like, KBD and Skeet Reese, and, you know, I believe they make, you know, close to $500,000 in endorsements a year. So, which is, obviously they're at the top of the game, but, you need to start out somewhere. You start out with the smaller sponsors and work your way up. Start out with the smaller tournaments and work your way up.
More local, you mean?
Yeah, local. You know, most guys start out, you know, on a regional basis and, work really hard at it, learn everything you can. Read every book you can, every magazine, you know, watch every video. And really learn about, you know, as much as you can about the fish, much as you can about marketing and promotion. Then you'll need to acquire the skills and acquire the equipment. You know, you're probably talking $100,000 for a truck and a boat and all the equipment it takes to go fishing. So you need to factor that in.
Isn't the most important thing you need is a boat that goes 70 miles an hour?
Well, you know, I mean, it's cool to have a nice, shiny boat that goes really fast, but, you know, you're not going to catch any fish at 70 miles an hour. You got to slow down, put the trolling motor down in order to catch them. And there's a lot of guys that start out smaller. There's actually, there's a couple guys on tour that fish out of actually a smaller boat. One guy, John, and his last name escapes me at the moment, but he fishes out of an aluminum boat. 2:00 instead of 2:15. So it's a nice aluminum boat, and, you know, probably goes 50 miles an hour, but he can get into places that maybe these guys with a fiberglass boat can't.
Right.
So you don't have to have the 70-mile-an-hour boat. It's nice, you know, it's cool, it has all the goodies, and, you know, and it makes it nice to fish out of, a top-of-the-line boat with the top-of-the-line electronics and all the top-of-the-line gear, but, you know, you don't always start out that way unless, you got rich mom and dad to really help you out.
Mm-hmm. And even then, if you don't have your basic mechanics down, it does you no good.
Exactly. You do need to get your mechanics and your thought process down. And even the guy that has the best mechanics may not do well in tournaments. And, you know, once you get out there, it's all really about the decisions that you make. You know, do you go to spot A, B, or C? You know, do you stay on A longer until the fish move in and then move to C or back to B? And, you know, I mean, there's a giant thought process in it. You know, you're always figuring it out because, you know, fish are a living, breathing creature and they move around. You know, they're not going to sit there and wait for you and go, okay, I'm going to be here at, you know, 6 o'clock tomorrow morning and you throw a spinnerbait out for me and I'm going to bite it. Mm-hmm. You know, you never really know for sure. So it's a lot about thinking assumptions and, you know, it's a fairly complex game. You know, some guys add too much complexity to it, and some guys make it a little bit too simple.
Mark, so. How are bass, you know, it's like locally we've got a Lake Kachuma that is, it's not a great bass lake, but farther south there's some really good bass lakes. But, you know, you can go out in a pontoon boat and throw and catch fish. Now, how much of a lake, percentage-wise, has bass in it? I mean, in other words, you can just go out in the middle, or where do you have to go to find them in the lake?
Well, most bass are cover-oriented, which is you have two different things. You have structure and cover, and a lot of people confuse those. Structure is the bottom of the lake, anything attached to the bottom of the lake. And cover is things that hold fish, a tree, you know, some cinder blocks or some vegetation or anything like that. So bass are a structure oriented. They like being near the bottom and they like to be near cover. So they're an omnivorous creature too that eats pretty much anything that'll fit in their mouth. And they'll be near this cover and they'll be in a position where they can run out, attack and eat something.
So generally,
bass are near the shoreline in most lakes.
So they don't cruise. They don't cruise around. They just hide, and then they see something, they go grab it, and then go back to where they were.
You kind of think like a mugger in an alley.
Okay.
You're going to hide that little dark spot. Mm-hmm. You're going to jump out and grab your wallet if you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can kind of think of it that way. I mean, and like I said, they're a living, breathing creature that, you know, that's an opportunistic feeder. So there are times when you're out in the middle of the lake and there'll be shad out in the middle of the lake, especially in the fall time, the big school of shad will move out. Well, the bass will move out and follow those shad out and eat them out in the middle of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, there's always variables. And, you know, it cracks me up to listen to some guys speak. You know, the guy gets up on a tank and speaks and goes, well, the bass are always doing this on this time, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and one thing I tell people when they go out with me, it's never always.
Yeah.
So there's always a variable, and you always have to keep an open mind.
Something else is, what about a trout plant? We know that they love trout. So,
well, yeah.
So if there's a trout plant, is that a good time?
That's almost like cheating.
Mm-hmm.
They release all the trout, and you go out there and throw a big swim bait, and you could take advantage of this because the bass get really stupid. They just see, you know, it's kind of like if somebody put a big plate of lobster in front of you, and you went, "Oh my God!" You know, and one of them was plastic. You may not notice that plastic one is there because you're trying to get all the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something like that. You know, these fish they go into a feeding frenzy, and bass will eat until they can't fit any more into their mouth or in their stomach. Sometimes they'll eat so much, fish will be hanging out of their mouth.
Yeah, they're...
And trout plants are good. You know, I mean, if you can find out when that trout plant is and when they release all those little small trout, and you can be there fishing, that can actually be a really good time.
And you find that lakes that do trout plants have significantly larger bass.
They do. You know, there's some lakes, actually some lakes in Northern California where they stocked kokanee.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's some fish in there that have grown to, you know, giant proportions.
Mm-hmm.
So just because kokanee are a little snack size,
Mark, we're gonna have to go. Give us a plug for yourself and Bass Angler Magazine.
You know, guys, if you really want to learn more about bass fishing, pick up a copy of Bass Angler Magazine. You know, we have it at Tackle Warehouse, Bass Pro, Gander Mountain, Barnes & Noble. It's all over the place. Our website's bassanglermag.com. You can go up there and sign up. So, you know, do yourself a favor. You want to learn more about bass fishing.
Perfect.
Have a copy of Bass Angler.
Bassanglermag.com. Thank you, Mark. We appreciate that. We're going to go to a break, and we really appreciate having it on. It's rare to get you on the radio because you're always out fishing. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio, and we'll be back with you shortly.
First named La Paz in 1566, the fourth largest municipality in Mexico still has a provincial Mexican atmosphere. On the Sea of Cortez, the most biodiverse body of water in the world, La Paz has year-round world-class fishing. With a rich history of pearls, pirates, and legendary fishing, La Paz in Baja Sur makes for the perfect fishing vacation. Spring in La Paz, you catch trophy pargo, giant yellowtail, and sierra. Find more at VivaLaPaz.com. Viva La Paz.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
Join us at Villa del Palmar in the islands of Loreto for a world-class fishing adventure. Compete for thousands of dollars in cash and prizes. Choose from three packages, a three-night stay for two in a deluxe studio room, fishing tournament fee, entry into the golf tournament at the new golf course, plus awards dinner. Non-anglers can choose up to four services at the resort's award-winning spa and wellness center. The Dorado Fishing and Golf Tournament begins June 29th and runs through July 2nd. It offers opportunity to catch Dorado at peak season with an entry fee of just $375 per person based on a team of four. All-inclusive packages that include meals and beverages, even an option with round-trip airfare on Alaska Airlines from Los Angeles to the islands of Loreto. Packages start at just $800 per person based on double occupancy. Come experience the luxury of Villa del Palmar at the islands of Loreto. Visit us at Villa del Palmar, Loreto.com, Dorado 2016.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to REEL funadventures.com.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
What I'd rather get my rod and reel and go fishing when I can. I wanna go fishing.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we have on the line with us, actually, we still have Mark Lassane from Bass Angler Magazine, but we have Scott Brown. And Scott, I can never remember exactly because you got so many different hats, but basically, you run the promotion for Dodge on the West Coast plus other brands, right?
Well, yeah, you know, it's the company I worked for is Fiat Chrysler, the old Chrysler Group. Now we're with Fiat, and I'm on the West Coast, and I do PR for them, do all of the media relations, work with all of the magazines, you know, radio stations, you know, on new products. I'm actually just finishing up launching a new Fiat 124, a little convertible.
So oh,
all
I remember them. Those. I remember those. Yeah, that was a hot car back in the late 70s, 80s, something like that.
Yeah, from 68 until like the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
But that car's back. We teamed up with Mazda, and it's a sister car to the Mazda Miata. And it's a great little product. So,
I'm all over the place. Okay. But we're going to be talking about Dodge Ram today. Now, I was joking with Mark when you weren't on the air about, you know, one of the first thing you have to have is a bass boat that goes 70 miles an hour. But but he did say that you can't troll at 70 miles an hour. But you know, obviously, if you're going to be a bass angler, you got a truck, and you want to have the truck that'll take you. When you pull up next to a lake and there's a RV there, and the kids are out throwing rocks in the water, that's probably not where you want to be. You want to be able to go to some place that most people can't even get to. And Dodge is doing that. Now, what kind of a truck do you have, Mark?
I have a 08 Dodge diesel, 1 ton.
Ooh, that'll do the trick.
So, yeah, so my truck is as fast as my boat. So I can get on the water or across the country. There you go.
One-ton diesel, man, you must be able to pull anything straight uphill on that.
I can hook my boat up and pull your house down at the same time.
I was going to say, it probably doesn't even feel the bass boat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really, really nice to tow with it. And you don't even know the boat's on the back, you know, except when you look in the rearview mirror.
Right. Nice.
Yeah, you want to do that every once in a while. Make sure it's still there.
Right.
But now that, Mark, do you ever take that areas normally? Bass contests are very like civilized lakes, but do you ever take it to any areas that are very difficult to reach where you got to actually use the off-road capabilities?
You know, I mean, there's times when I need the four-wheel drive to get out of the ramp, you know, especially, you know, it's getting better now, but, you know, we had this big drought the last few years here in California. Some of the ramps were, you know, just some little small dirt roads where it was nice to have a four-wheel drive truck to get it, be able to get in and out, and I could, you know, never had any problem no matter what lake I wanted to go to or what ramp. I never had to worry about that, which was a nice option.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you got a few minutes, why don't you stick around, Mark, because we're going to see if we can get Scott to give us some tips about using a Ram truck off-road. So, Scott, if you wouldn't mind, I know it's kind of a broad subject, but some tips, the equipment itself, and, well, you know what you're talking about, so why don't you just start telling us about it?
Well, yeah, well, first, I mean, as a consumer, you got to know, you know, how you're going to primarily use your truck, right? And then we like to feel at Ram Trucks that we're going to have something that's going to fit what you need, whether it's a Power Wagon. You know, the Power Wagon nameplate's been around since 1945 after World War, right, that it's in World War II. But that's kind of the alpha off-road truck. If you're going to be getting backcountry, and I think, John, I've been with you in a Power Wagon.
Oh, yeah.
It'll do, it's like a Wrangler Rubicon of the truck world with locking axles, sway bar disconnect, a 12,000-pound winch. So if you're a fisherman that's getting into the backcountry, you know, there's nothing better than a Power Wagon.
Yeah, it seems to me there's a winch front and back, too.
No, it was just the front, mm-hmm. just on the front, not on the back. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the first thing when it comes to wheeling and using your product is knowing exactly how you're going to be using it and then buying the right product. So I like to tell people when it comes to going off-road, first you have to know where you're going. Then you have to prepare for where you're going, whether it's the recovery equipment, emergency, you know, first aid kits. I always tell people, as slow as possible and as fast as necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, speed breaks things, and you want to let your machine, you know, and I don't care what machine it is, if it's a truck, if it's a boat, you want to let it do what it was designed to do and not push it past its limits, because that's when things get expensive and potentially hurt happens.
Some of the trails that you and I have been on, you can walk faster than you can drive. But the problem is that you can walk around these boulders that are the size of Volkswagens, where in the truck you got to crawl over the top of them.
Right, yeah, but we're carrying hundreds of pounds of equipment, right? You know, you don't want to carry all your gear, you know, to that high mountain lake or wherever you're going in the truck. You know, you can't beat a truck for hauling your stuff.
But real quickly, when you talk about hauling stuff, what I was impressed with is there's no wasted space. I mean, there are things like, you know, like coolers hidden under the back seat or in the floorboards and all these places for fishing rods and guns that normally would just be wasted space.
Yeah, well, the Ram engineers have done a great job, like you say, looking for any pocket, any place where they can put something, a device, even the pickup truck beds. Now we have what you call, it's an option, but it's called Ram Box. you know, and it puts, like you say, compartments on either side of the bed, and you can put shotguns, rifles, fishing rods. It'll hold six fishing rods. You know, we've got little coolers in the back seat in the floor that you can get a lockable lid on to carry ammunition, or again, a handgun, and it's legal because it can't be locked.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing the efficiencies that you're building and that we're building into trucks now, whether it's efficiencies from packaging or efficiencies on the engine.
Well, Scott, let's talk a little bit about power. Mark mentioned he's got a diesel. Give us diesel versus gas. Pros and cons.
From a cost standpoint, like the Cummins that Mark has, I mean, you're talking, there's, I think, a $7,500 premium on the engine, and then you're looking at $2,000 on a transmission. But you're also looking at something that's going to get 30% better fuel economy right out of the chute, and it's going to have a longer durability, a longer life cycle than, say, a gas engine. So,
how many miles do you have on your 06?
You know, it's an 08. I'm going to say it's barely broken in. I have about 105,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just broken in. The engine is just getting broken in. But that Cummins, the Cummins diesel is amazing. You know, we've got a version now that makes 900 pound-feet of torque.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it can tow a trailer, up to 31,000 pounds. that's a huge boat, a huge trailer. You know, and then even the 1500s, we've got a VM Vittori diesel engine, a smaller diesel engine that'll get up to 29 miles per gallon, and still can haul a trailer.
Well, is that little V8 diesel that's made in Italy?
Yeah, it's a little V6, you know.
It's
3-liter diesel, made in Italy, but it's 420 pound-feet of torque.
Wow.
240 horsepower. You know, we like to say that it's a V6, but it has the pulling capability, the power of a Hemi V8, but all the efficiency of a four-cylinder. Because it gets better fuel economy than the little Toyota Tacomas or the Chevy Canyons, the little small pickup trucks. A full-size 1500 truck, half-ton truck, getting better fuel economy than the small trucks.
Okay. I want one of those.
Yeah, that's a great truck. I mean, honestly, it is a phenomenal truck.
Well, let's give us some other tips about use of the vehicles. You talked about matching the vehicle to what you're going to be using it for, which is obviously important. But I don't know if either one of you have any comments on that.
When you're pulling, one of the most important things is what size trailer you're going to be pulling, what's the weight of your trailer, and then matching that, you know, to the size of the truck, whether it's an engine, a half ton, a three-quarter ton, or a one ton. You can't underestimate getting yourself into a position where, you know, the brakes aren't big enough or the truck isn't strong enough.
So. Mark, you travel a lot all through the West Coast and probably more. Do you use your vehicle? Do you sleep in it? Is it part of your, you know?
You know what I do? I do sleep in it. I put a little sleep bag, a little mattress. I put a sleeping bag in the back. You know, sometimes I'll hit the road and I'll drive all day. Sleep in the back. I don't have I have a camper shell, but I don't have like a camper in. So I do sleep in the back.
Mm-hmm.
I like a one ton, and it is overkill to be towed a bass boat with a one ton. I'm going to say I think I probably have 100,000 miles on my original brakes on that.
Wow.
So obviously I use the engine brake quite a bit, which is a nice feature that it has. But since the brakes are overkill, you know, for what I have, they never get hot, they never warp the rotors, and they last a really long time. And I think if I had a three-quarter ton, I would be right about there.
Yeah.
If I was towing with a half ton, the brakes would wear down faster just because, you know, everything's a little bit smaller.
Scott, I think you'd agree that you're probably better off to have a little too much than a little too little.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Mark, I think you're doing it right. I'd prefer to be over prepared than under prepared, right?
There you go. All right, guys,
yeah.
we're gonna have to be taken off again. Get in touch with Mark Lassane at BassAnglerMag.com. And Scott, I guess you just walk into any Ram
yep.
placing room, and is there a chance they get a test drive?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? Someone walks in, butts in seats. That's what we want. We want you to drive and experience a truck, yeah. You know, and we've got a lot of good things to offer.
Well, it's
dealer.
I'll tell you what, it's easy to think that you're in a car on those things. But we appreciate both you guys very much. We're going to have to go to a break. Scott, thank you. We'll hope to bring you back soon. And Mark, it's good to have you back on also. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. Go to fishtalkradio.com. Go to the front page and listen as many times as you like. Both of you guys, too, by the way.
Join us at Villa del Palmar in the islands of Loreto to experience an incredible world-class fishing adventure and compete for thousands of dollars in cash and prizes. The Dorado Fishing and Golf Tournament begins June 29th through July 2nd and offers an opportunity to catch Dorado during its peak season with an entry fee of just $375 per person based on a team of four. Located on the Sea of Cortez, known as the Aquarium of the World, the islands of Loreto are known for their calm indigo waters and nearly 1,000 species of fish. The islands of Loreto offers guests the chance to hook their next big catch, including striped marlin, yellowfin tuna, grouper, and dorado. Please join us for the Villa del Palmar's first golf tournament on the spectacular new world-class golf course. Come to experience the luxury at Villa del Palmar at the islands of Loreto. Visit us at Villa del Palmar, Loreto.com, Dorado 2016.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years' experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
The road stretches for miles in front of you, and with the Ram 1500, you'll be able to reach mile after open mile. It gets a best-in-class 25 miles per gallon highway, so your destination won't just be determined by your gas gauge, but by your gauge for achievement. And the Ram 1500 is the first-ever back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year. Guts. Glory. Ram. See your local Ram dealer today for great deals. EPA estimated 25 mpg highway based on V6 4x2.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Can't get the fish in the line and in the water. Oh, yeah. Can't get the fish in the line and in the water.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio. And we've got Marco Farrell in here with us and Tashambi Moore from Navionics. And as a matter of fact, this bumper music we're talking about, you can't catch any fish if your line ain't in the water. Well, also, I'd like to add to that, you can't catch any fish if you can't find the fish. So, Tashambi, welcome to Fish Talk Radio. Why don't we introduce yourself and give us some more information about Navionics.
Hey, John and Mark, thanks so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Welcome back.
My name is Tashambi. Thank you. Thank you very much. My name is Tashambi Moore. I'm with Navionics. I'm the Western Regional Sales Manager, and I manage the Western United States and Canada. You know, John, really the most current and latest stuff at Navionics is really about creating brand new cartography through crowdsourcing. And there's a couple of aspects of our cartography, namely sonar charts live and community edits. And both of those are pieces of data that are sourced from our install base of users and contribute to the charts that everybody uses.
Well, I know what you're talking about, but why don't you repeat that again and explain it in simple terms?
Well, simply, we can take sonar log data that's recorded by the public, and create brand new one-foot contour maps from it by them uploading those maps to Navionics. Doesn't give away anybody's secret spots, but it does create new contour lines which allow people to find structure and to catch more fish.
So if someone's got a sounder or a transducer and they're looking at the bottom, wherever it is, whether it's a lake, stream, ocean, or whatever it is, we're gonna come back. Okay, that's right. Tshamba, you're still there, right?
I certainly am.
Okay. Anyway, so when they're using that information gets sent to you, and how does that happen? How do they get it to you?
So there's a couple of different ways. One, if you have a chart plotter that creates a Wi-Fi network on a boat, it connects to your mobile device like an iPhone or a Droid or an iPad, and it actually, once it's recorded from your chart plotter on your boat, it's uploaded automatically. So that's one way.
Oh.
The second way is placing a blank chip inside of your GPS chart plotter on your boat.
Mm-hmm.
Turn the recording on your sonar unit, whether it's a Raymarine unit, Lowrance, Simrad, Hummingbird, Garmin, doesn't matter. You can record with that sonar onto that blank chart, stick that into a computer, go to navionics.com, downloads an update, you upload that data to Navionics, and we process that data within about a week, and you'll have brand new one-foot contour maps.
So you will have a recording of it, but everybody else in the world will also. So the reason for doing that is just to build, it's like you say, crowdsourcing, just to having everybody participate to build the information.
That's correct. And we have this process called precious data, which allows anybody that buys an Navionics card for 1 year to do updates as many times as they want within that year. So all of those sonar logs, the community edits, any data that we get from Notice to Mariners, that's part of precious data, and when you update your chart, you get all of that information.
Well, Tshamba, would you explain Navionics equipment? And I know that there's different ways you can use it. Can you explain what those are?
Sure. I mean, we create mapping. So our charts work in several different GPS chart plotters, like Lowrance and Hummingbird and Raymarine. And we also make a mobile product, which gives you the maps as well. So you can go to iTunes or you can go to the Google Play Store, and you can, for about $10, you can download our charts for the U.S. and Canada for about $15. So if you have a chart plotter or you have a mobile device, you can get our charts very, very easily.
Now, but you also have a transducer that you sell that works with Navionics, or is that required, or you just use your phone? Or give us an idea how that all works.
So there's a couple of different companies that we work with. One of them, and the one that I showed at the writer's event that I saw you at a couple of months ago, is from Vexilar. Vexilar makes a unit called an FP200 or 300 that allows you to wirelessly connect to a unit that has a transducer powered on the boat that connects to your mobile device, and that allows you to record sonar logs. So if you're in a little aluminum boat or a kayak or something like that, this is a great product for a boat like that. And that will allow you to record sonar logs and automatically upload those through your mobile device to Navionics and create brand new apps.
So you're while you're watching the bottom of the structure, it's being recorded.
Absolutely. So basically, that Vexilar unit, that SP200 or SP300,
mm-hmm.
turns your iPhone or your Android phone into a chart plotter. So you have mapping on the top, and you have a 2D sonar on the bottom, right on your phone. It's really fantastic, and it lets you use.
Wait a minute. Oh, okay. So if you've got the sonar, but let's just say that you've got a just an iPhone or an iPad or an Android phone, and you get the app, and it so that would be well, you get the map. But what about GPS? How do you find places on the map?
So the phone and the iPad have built-in GPS. So you don't need anything else but your phone, the app, and that SP200 or SP300 that I was talking about. You have GPS position on the screen as well as the 2D sonar. So you can see your boat position and you can see the depth of the water right on your screen.
Well, actually, Marco has pulled out his phone and he's showing something on the screen right now. And he actually bought the app. So wanted to, maybe he has some questions for you and you guys can comment on that.
Well, I was just going to say, comes to mind, a really good use for this would be if I were traveling with my family and came up on a lake and wanted to go fish, but I didn't have any of my fishing gear with me. This would be really useful to be able to at least find the bottom structure.
Absolutely. I mean, we look at it from a couple of different perspectives. It's a fantastic backup on a boat that has a dedicated GPS system, or if you're out on somebody else's boat that may not have GPS, or you know they have a unit that you're not familiar with, you can track and show your position. You can see the depth of the water. You can see contours, and it's really fantastic to have as a resource.
And can I save waypoints on this? My own?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So if you have it in front of you, tap the screen, and when you see that crosshair come up,
yep.
Tap the question mark,
yep.
And then you'll see something that says marker.
So I'm sitting in the studio here, and I just found a rock off of our harbor here that I'm going to go fish maybe tomorrow.
Well, there you go.
So the unit's already working on catching fish for me.
Oh, you can expand the screen, too, so you can...
You can zoom right in.
Zoom in, yeah. And I guess are those lat longs or depth or what is that on there?
Those are depth. And the other thing too, you mentioned you get 1 foot bottom contours. That's most government charts are what, 6 foot or less,
yeah,
or more?
Feet. Yeah, probably more like 10 feet.
So if there were a rock that came up 2 feet, it wouldn't even show up on a government map. But because of your crowdsourcing and because of the detail on your charts, I'm going to be able to see that slight rise that might hold the fish.
Absolutely.
Wow, this is great. This is a game changer.
You know, one of the other things that you may have noticed if you've updated your chart on your phone recently is we just added weather.
And what? How
really
do you do that?
So if you look, if you tap the screen again, if you see a cloud on the left-hand side of that crosshair,
yep,
tap that cloud,
and it's
weather wherever you are.
Look at that. Just pulled up our local weather and a forecast here. Whoa. So it's an hourly forecast, and this is a game changer.
It's going to show you tides and currents. It's going to show you sea surface temperature, so many things that fishermen are always looking for. And if you're in tidal fishery, you absolutely need to have the tides and currents that you can run those tides properly.
Yep. Wow. Oh, this is great. Look at this. It shows you incoming and outgoing tides.
Wow.
And it also shows you your pressure so you can see what's happening with the...
Tashami, before you go away, what is it, Moore's Law? Everything gets better and cheaper every year. What does it cost for what Marco has on his phone?
I think on the iPhone, it's probably about $14.99 to add that on the phone.
And that's $14.99, not $1,499.
Wow.
It may be worth that much, but no, it's only $14.99.
Wow.
That is amazing.
Well, anybody that doesn't have that, then that's pretty stupid.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't have one yet, but you're going to send it to me. But I never said I was smart. But,
I'm going to refrain from making a comment about that, John.
Now, I'm going up to Alaska in a couple of weeks, so I'm going to need that, especially, when the fog comes in, that, it's nice to know where you are and where you're trying to get back to. But,
absolutely.
Tashami, we so much appreciate you you coming and joining us. It's been a little while, but things have changed since I've had you on last time. You know, I thought this was...
Yeah, Yeah, they certainly have changed a bit, and I really appreciate you having me on to share the information.
Well, it sounds like you guys are really keeping up with things. So let's get some quick information on how to get in touch with Navionics.
Well, if you want to get more information about Navionics, go to navionics.com. And one of the great things on there is our web app, and that allows you to see the map anywhere in the world for free.
Okay, that sounds great. We appreciate everybody listening to Fish Talk Radio. Go to fishtalkradio.com, and you can listen to this show as many times as you want. And if you need more information, Tashambi will get it to you, or let me know, and maybe we'll even give one or two of these away in the near future. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio. Go to fishtalkradio.com. We appreciate you tuning in.